Hello, it's Heather from the Sunshine and Power Cuts podcast. In association with Geeks Rising from the 10th to the 16th of August or 11th to the 17th if you're here in New Zealand, we are hosting the second 2019 Sunshine Summit. It's a week of live streams with amazing content creators and their communities with the theme of celebrating connections. All of the details for the upcoming summit, as well as replays from our previous events and where the live streams will be happening, can be found at sunshinesummit.live. A huge thank you to the patrons of Sunshine and Power Cuts for making it possible. So check it out, and if you know our guests, we'd love for you to come and celebrate with us. And if they're new to you, come along and learn more about them, and we look forward to celebrating connections with you.
I'm Chris Farrell from the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast, a wacky weekend morning show, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out right now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and the opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, a show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. I'm Chris, and today we have Justin Williams from Supertangent here for the next part of our Play Comics Origin series. Justin, how are you today?
Oh, whatever. You know I'm horrible.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're on the show now, so you're instantly cool because you're here with me.
This,
and I've heard that's good enough.
Is the worst day of my life because I'm on your show. I can't wait till this is over. I just want to get back to my, I can't think of something good. I'm totally lying. I'm thrilled to be on your show. And life is good. It's a good day. It's Saturday. It's almost 80 degrees in Anchorage, Alaska, which is frightening. I think the apocalypse is happening or something of the sort.
I didn't even think that was possible.
I didn't think so either. We actually have had a giant wildfire at Swan Lake, which I believe is up north. I don't even know where that is. But around that area had a giant wildfire. So the city of Anchorage has just been doused in like very thin smoke for practically all week long, which makes the heat hotter. It sucks. But, you know, it gives me more of an excuse to stay indoors and do dorky things like record podcasts or whatever cool hipster kids are doing in this generation. I don't know. But here I am.
Yeah, I think we're too old to know what the kids are doing.
The fact that we call them the kids says it all. We are old as dirt. I'm 30. I just turned 30 this year, which is the new 75, which is the new dead. I'm dead. You're talking to a dead man. I'm a ghost.
I mean, I'm 32, so I'm dead twice, I guess.
Dear God, you are just... When's your birthday? Can I get you...
I'm going to be 33 later.
Do you want a stroller or a wheelchair for your birthday?
Probably a wheelchair. I'm probably a little fat for a stroller.
Oh. I'll just get you a tombstone. I'm not even going to bother.
That'll work.
Okay. Just skip a couple of levels there and just go straight to the end boss. Just get the tombstone.
At least then I have plans for later.
Yeah.
So it works.
Yeah, get your will ready, buddy. Yeah.
Hot jokes on you. I was already thinking about doing that. Today, we are here to look at Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter. The first of the actual Marvel versus Capcom-y games.
That is very, you know, I never thought of this as like the first, but I guess it is it is the first game to kind of introduce a universe concept, you know, because X-Men versus Street Fighter definitely didn't do it. It was franchise versus franchise, and Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter was I mean, of course, as a kid playing the crappy version on the PlayStation, I didn't think about this back then, but it cracks me up that they went from franchise to franchise fighter in the form of X-Men versus Street Fighter to a, like, a universe versus a franchise. Like, why didn't they think here in 1997 to just do what they did in 1999 with Marvel versus Capcom? Like, why did they decide to not branch out Street Fighters? Maybe they didn't think their other franchises were as popular as Street Fighter, or what? Because I kind of look at the roster, and outside of the inclusion of Sakura, who wasn't in X-Men versus Street Fighter, and like Dan, who wasn't in X-Men versus Street Fighter, the roster is practically the same from X-Men versus Street Fighter. So I wonder why they decided to do that. You know?
Well, it's not like Capcom has any other games in their entire history that would work as a fighting game character.
At all?
No, not at all.
No.
I mean, they only have such wonderful things as Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And Mega Man.
Ugh. Blech. Who cares about those guys?
Devil May Cry.
Ugh. Ugh. I hate Devil May Cry. Dante, Nero, Trish, Mundus. Gah. I'm just kidding. I love all those things. I don't understand. You know what? Come to think about it, Capcom actually doesn't have, even to this day, they don't have many 2D fighters, do they? Outside of the Marvel versus Capcom series, like, we talk about characters that come from games that make up the rosters for games like Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, Marvel versus Capcom 1, 2, 3. They don't have a lot of 2D fighting games. They have Street Fighter and Darkstalkers, and that's it. And I think, like, all their other fighting games are, like, 3D fighting games, like Power Stone and Rival Schools and Tech Romancer and Plasma Sword and Star Gladiator and, like, all this other stuff. But, like, they don't have any original 2D fighting games.
No,
maybe that's
it.
Why they stick with Street Fighter so much. Huh. I've literally never thought about that till now. That's your fault. You take responsibility for that.
I take responsibility for a lot of things in this one.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you being a man, being mature about it. This freaking game, I don't even know where to start.
The easiest place to start with this is probably the rosters, because there is absolutely nothing original on these rosters at all, which I'm not complaining about.
Have you played the Japanese version of this game?
On Saturn, yes.
Yeah, so Norimaru, you've played him?
Yep.
Okay.
It's weird.
I guess he's the only original character in the game. He's not Capcom, he's not Marvel. What is he like? I've never played as him.
I haven't played as him on this one. I've played as him on, I think it was 3.
Okay.
But, I mean, he's kind of like Dan in the I don't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
Aspect of things.
He seems like a clown, like very goofballish. His hyper combos are hilarious. I mean, at least from what I've seen on YouTube, I would have loved to have played as the character. Such a strange inclusion for a random fighter. I mean, this was, you know, the era before fighting, it became a trend for fighting games to have random guest characters, I guess. You know, I think that trend kind of started with Soul Calibur 2 with Link, Spawn, Heihachi. And that was, like, really, really neat. And then it just kind of became a thing for Soul Calibur. And then before we knew it, Akuma's in Tekken and the Ninja Turtles are in Injustice 2. And it's weird and creepy and crazy. But then you have this weird a-hole, you know, Norimaru, who, one, isn't in the American version of Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter. One thing that always pissed me off is that I bought the PlayStation version a long time ago as a kid. I got, like, Walmart or something. And, you know, you buy the case with the disc, and it has the booklet, which has the primary like illustration or whatever that has like all the characters on it, and Norimaru's on there, and I always wondered, who is this guy? He's not on the roster. He's not an X-Men. He's not a Street Fighter, obviously. Who is this loser-looking guy?
Well, first off, I have no idea who I was thinking of because this is the only game he's been in.
Oh, when you referred to 3, what were you talking about?
I have no idea who I was thinking of now. So I'm
okay, cool.
It was probably the guy from Ace Attorney.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because we know who he is.
We know who he is. And he's silly and strange.
Norimaru is a guy that's created and owned by a Japanese comedian. I would try to say his name, but I don't speak Japanese at all, so it's going to be a horrible way to pronounce Noritake Kenashi.
That wasn't bad.
I am never going to be confused for a Japanese translator.
Well, at least you can keep this job.
Yeah. The Saturn game and the arcades over in Japan are the only places where he shows up.
Yeah.
Copyright stuff. It's really fun, guys.
It's my personal favorite thing. Capcom is a development company who is seemingly more interested in fixing things that aren't broken than creating new stuff. Akuma has been like the main villain in Street Fighter basically since his debut in Super Turbo. They are highly unoriginal, or Bison, who's been the main bad guys in Street Fighter 2. After Street Fighter 3, they just kind of went back to Bison and Akuma. Like they don't care if they keep their characters up to date, if they give them new outfits, if they have new characters. Street Fighter V is the first game in the franchise for the longest time to like actually change some of the looks of the characters in that game and introduce a large number of new characters that we've never seen before. And I thought it was astonishing in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 that the de facto main character, Ruby Hart, was an original creation that we had never seen prior to that game and I don't think ever saw after that game. I thought that was really, really cool. Capcom doesn't do stuff like that. So I was really taken aback when I found out that there was this original character, again, never previously seen and never seen again, original character for this game that I freaking owned in this game. It's like, why doesn't Capcom do more of that? SNK does it all the time. Why, I don't know.
It would That's be amazing thing. If they did, because I want to see cool people.
Yeah. I mean, the people we know are cool, but I mean, after a while, it just gets old.
Well, you're looking at this here on from the Marvel side of things. You have Blackheart, who was just in Marvel Super Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You have Captain America, who is just in Marvel Super Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You have Hulk and Shuma Goroth and Spider-Man, who were just in Marvel Super Heroes. And you have Cyclops and Omega Red, who were just in Children of the Atom.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolverine, because Wolverine is in everything. He was just mm-hmm. in X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. Very original list that they compiled.
I mean, nobody's buying this game because they want to play as these characters, because they've probably already got those other games.
Yeah. I did play Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter before Marvel Super Heroes. So it was actually fun playing this game and then actually going backwards to Children of the Atom and Marvel Super Heroes and like listening to some of the songs that the Versus series remixed, or listening to some of the or like watching some of the character sprites, listening to like the background. Like it's one fun thing that I noticed that they did with the Versus series was like when they perform a hyper combo, they use the sound effect from Street Fighter Alpha. But I think in Marvel versus Capcom, the announcer from either Children of the Atom or Marvel Super Heroes, depending on your character, says the same thing that they say in the previous game. So like in Children of the Atom, when you do a super combo, there's this stupid announcer that goes X, because X is the coolest letter ever, before you perform a super combo. they do the same thing in Marvel versus Capcom when you pick either Gambit or Wolverine. But if you pick someone like War Machine or Spider-Man, the guy, the announcer in that game goes, Infinity, because that's what the guy, the announcer, says in Marvel Super Heroes when you do a super combo. So it's really fun to see how they, like, mix and match all of these random, like, sound effects that they've used before and songs that they've used before to accommodate the newer games back when they were new. But the roster in of itself, it's not that interesting. The most interesting thing about it is, like, it's basically just Marvel superheroes with the X-Men characters, but it doesn't even have that many characters. Dr. Doom's not there. Thanos isn't there. Psylocke isn't there. It's kind of, honestly, like, Omega Red is freaking dope in this game, but it's honestly kind of a sucky roster.
It really is. I mean, you can knock Wolverine off, I think, because he's in literally everything that has to do with X-Men in the 90s.
Yeah.
Let's give us a breather there. But I can understand if they want to leave him. That's fine.
Yeah.
Shuma Garoth and Blackheart, you can probably knock off because they're not huge characters. I don't believe they were huge characters back then. I mean, it's cool to see them, but we just saw them. Let's make room for somebody else.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of Cyclops in fighting games.
Why is that?
I just don't think his powers translate well. I mean, when one of your powers is super geometry understanding, that's kind of up to the player and not really something you can work into his character set.
Yeah. I think he was perfect for what they were trying to achieve in X-Men versus Street Fighter as far as just making everything absolutely insane. Like, you know, Ryu's super fireball move being a giant fireball in Street Fighter Alpha to now a giant stream of energy that takes up half the screen. I think Cyclops' powers, like his optic blast, translated very well visually. But I think it's really easy to spam the opponent with his abilities as well. Like, I don't think there's a whole lot of strategy that goes into playing a Cyclops. And so as much as I missed him in, like, Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3, and especially Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, which omitted any X-Men characters, he looks great and he fits very well in this universe, but especially in Marvel versus Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, I honestly think they could have knocked him out. They did in Marvel versus Capcom. They could have done that in this game, and I don't know, gave us someone. I don't know who would replace him, but they could have knocked him off as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, really looking at this, you probably could have knocked off the entire Marvel roster. Because they've been in so much stuff, or they were just in the previous game.
Right. Just call the game versus Street Fighter.
Well, I'd replace them with other people.
Who would you replace them with, though?
That's the problem.
I think that's so easy to do with a game like Marvel Infinite, where it's like it's almost the exact same thing as Marvel versus Capcom 3. The roster is so disappointingly identical that it's like, why didn't they add Leon instead of Chris, or Maximo instead of whatever the main character's name from Ghosts and Goblins is, Arthur? You know, like little tiny things like that that they really could have worked in there. But with Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter, I don't know, maybe it was just because I was still kind of a kid and didn't really care. But I honestly find it hard to replace that roster, as much as it sucks, with characters that I actually cared about until I was a little bit older, as far as like comic books are concerned. I don't know. I mean, some of these guys just make a killer tag team combo. I mean, playing as Spider-Man and Wolverine, you can dominate the entire game. And very hastily. So I don't know. And just about every character that I would want now in that game has shown up later on in either, you know, Marvel versus Capcom, or reappeared in Marvel versus Capcom 2. So I don't know. Could use some more female characters, though, on the Marvel side.
Oh, definitely. Because we have exactly zero.
It's kind of sad. Were there even... Oh, no. X-Men versus Street Fighter had Rogue. And Storm. And wow, they removed both of them in this game. Way to go, Marvel. Way to be progressive.
Yeah, we're going to try to figure out what they were thinking while you listen to a few promos for some other shows.
Hi, it's Luke from Luke Who's Talking, a podcast where I talk about what's happening in my life living in a small Australian city. Or are we a town? It's a grouse old time. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, or just give Luke Who's Talking a Google.
If you're looking for something different, Murder Mile covers the untold, unsolved, and long-forgotten murders in London's West End. It's researched using the original police investigation files, it's presented as a dramatization, and it focuses on the victims' lives in an honest, detailed, and sympathetic way. Murder Mile is about life, not lunatics. So if you love true crime stories about real murders by regular people in everyday places, then Murder Mile is just for you. Murder Mile was nominated one of the best British true crime podcasts of 2018. So if you love things a little bit different, try Murder Mile.
So Justin, did you figure it out?
No.
Yeah, me either. We're just going to have to let that go because it's never going to get figured out.
No, it's not. Not at this point. 1997. What a year. That's all I got.
So you mentioned earlier that you had the PlayStation version growing up.
Ugh.
I'm sorry.
So am I. Dag nabbit. I didn't know what I was missing out on. I back then, I think we really only had one home console at a time. So during that era, we know I didn't have a Sega Saturn. I knew about Virtua Cop and Panzer Dragoon and all these really cool Sega Saturn games. I didn't realize how powerful the Sega Saturn was. And by the time I realized all of my favorite PlayStation Capcom games were on the Sega Saturn, like Mega Man X4 and Mega Man 8 and the Street Fighter Alpha games and the Versus series games like this, Marvel versus Street Fighter, it was too late. So
even people that I knew that had multiple consoles, it was one thing from a generation. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know anybody that had a Genesis and a Super Nintendo or a PlayStation and a 64. Yeah. They all had to take their one pick that generation.
Yeah.
And we really missed out on this one for Saturn.
Yeah, we did.
Well, it never came out over here, so that didn't help.
True. But, I had friends who somehow knew about... Back then, like, the internet wasn't huge. Amazon wasn't huge. We didn't have smartphones, so we weren't just, like, ordering whatever we wanted off of Amazon and eBay. But I did have friends who somehow caught, like... And I think it was just because of, like, local video game stores that we had. They sold, like, copies of imports. One of my earliest memories, a buddy of mine, Gary, I remember going to his house and playing the Japanese version of Dragon Ball GT Final Bout. And he like hijacked his American PlayStation to play Japanese games to kind of make it region free. And it was the strangest thing I'd ever saw. He like left like the top of it open so you could see the CD spinning on it. I think he had like a toothpick and he like rigged it in the back a little bit or whatever, but he made it work. And it was so cool because it was like, we're playing this Japanese game that one, he's not supposed to have, and two, his PlayStation isn't supposed to play, and it's working. So Lord knows what he went through to get that and to learn how to actually do that. I definitely would not have that sort of knowledge to do that. So yeah, Americans were just screwed in 1997. We either we didn't know or we knew and couldn't obtain.
And honestly, I'm not sure which one is worse.
Which what is worse?
Not knowing versus knowing and not being able to do it.
I think knowing and not being able to do it, you know, because it's like, I mean, imagine, seeing a picture of your wife and never being able to marry her. How horrible would that be? Right.
Well, that, but if that you didn't would be know, bad.
That would be terrible. But not knowing she's out there, you know, you save yourself from the pain and a couple of buckets of ice cream, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, I went and ordered myself a flashed memory card for my Saturn so that I could play imports that way.
Ooh, that's genius.
Never. I don't know if that was available back then or if somebody had to go and actually solder a new chip onto your board.
Probably that. I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there. Did they make region-free Sega Saturns back then? Like, I don't know if they did.
No, they didn't. So you would have had to get somebody to mess with your board.
Hmm. Well, the fact that there was even people who knew how to do that really amazes me. One of my favorite experiences was going to London. When I was in London in 2012 as for an arts internship, like, it was a brand new experience for me because I lived in this house. There were no video games, right? I was video game free for 4 months. I was surprised at myself. We were so occupied that I didn't really notice. But we went to the mall one day on a day off, and I went to FYE. I don't even know if FYE is a thing anymore for your entertainment, but just a giant media chain that had CDs. Oh God, what are those? And, you know, DVDs and movies and tons of video games. And I remember going there one day. Now, mind you, years ago, I was on YouTube checking out like 2D helicopter, like vertical shooting games, because those are some of my favorite, like Raiden, Galaga, games like that. And one that I'd stumbled upon is called Dodonpachi. And for years, I was watching this on YouTube, like, oh my God, this is such a cool game. It's Japanese only, but I can't stop watching this game. I would love to buy it one day, but it's Japanese only. Years later, I end up in London, go to FYE, and what do you know? What's on Xbox 360? Dodonpachi. So I buy it, and the whole time I'm worrying, wait, oh crap, my Xbox 360 probably can't play this. But when I got back home to crappy old Anchorage, turns out the disc itself was region free. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I finally experienced like this wonder that I wish I could go back and give to my younger self as a kid who was about to buy the PlayStation version of Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter and be like, no, and like slap it out of his hand and give him a Sega Saturn with the Sega Saturn version and be like, trust me, you'll thank me later. I'll see you in the future. And then go back to my Rick and Morty portal to the future. But we had what we had.
It wouldn't have been so bad if we didn't have the arcade version here, because the arcade version, you've got your versus stuff going. You've got your tag team battles. I mean, it's the way the game should be.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw that. We knew it should have been in the game. And then the PlayStation just couldn't handle it, so they took out the tag team stuff.
It literally took out the point of the game. Like, how stupid is that? It's like buying Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo, and then when you play the game, all the characters are just running. There's no carts. You know, that's what it's like. It's which is funny because Sonic R, the original Sonic racing game, that's all they're actually doing. They're literally just running around racing each other. But it's so dumb.
And oh, I can I do you not... one better than that.
Do
I
it.
Have a ROM of Super Mario Kart where you can run over the question marks all you want. You'd never get an item.
What kind of witchcraft is that?
I have no idea.
Satan developed that game. That's who did that game. Because that sounds horrible.
But it's the same kind of thing. You're taking out maybe not the core mechanic, but the core B mechanic.
Yeah. Agreed. It makes no sense. You wouldn't take out I don't know. I can't think of anything else. But yeah, it's so stupid. It drives me crazy. One thing that I did appreciate, though, is that the variable assist, I don't know if that was introduced in X-Men versus Street Fighter or Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, but the variable assist is where you can, like, summon the partner character to do, like, a quick move, and then he runs back to the background. and you could do like kill, you can chain together killer combos that way. They kept that in the PlayStation version, so you could still do a crossover combination, which is where both the characters do their hyper combos at the same time. You can still do the variable assist, where your partner character comes and does a short little special move and runs away. So you could do all these things, like they were like teasing you, but you couldn't even do so much as like tag out and switch characters mid battle. So that part of the strat, which was very strategic, because now you're dealing with four vitality bars, not just two. It really drained the life of the game.
It's a whole different game there, because when you switch your characters out, the one who's sitting on the sideline is slowly regaining their health. So when you switch is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And they just turned it into a normal three-round fighting game.
Yeah. Which is not cute at all. The only thing worse than that is the PlayStation version of Marvel vs. Capcom, which I won't get into, but yeah, the PlayStation version of Marvel vs. Street Fighter was just, it was just a drag. And I'm just glad that I didn't know any better as a kid, because, you know, things like loading times and not so great gameplay and the arcade version of any game being better than the home console version of any game was the norm. So I kind of knew, I didn't know why, but I knew playing this game at home wouldn't be the same experience as going to the local arcade and playing this game. You know what I mean? And so in those regards, like, I had an appreciation for the PlayStation game because it just kept me amped up to go out and play the quote unquote real version of the game at the arcades. You know, smoother frame rates, no loading screens, you know, blah, 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 blah. The arcade was just better. I don't even really think, quote unquote, the arcade is like a big thing anymore. You know, Street Fighter 4 didn't go to arcades before it came to home console, you know. So that's probably the only, for me, the only bit of charm the PlayStation version had of the game. If I had the Sega Saturn version, I wouldn't need to go to the arcade and experience that every weekend. So thank you, crappy Marvel vs. Street Fighter, for the memories.
I will give the PlayStation some credit. They added some extra modes to make up for the fact that they had like half the frames of animation and you couldn't do your tag team stuff. So they added a training mode, which is exactly as exciting as it sounds. You're just training.
Yay.
Okay, big deal there. They added a hero battle mode where you could either choose to be the Street Fighter side or the Marvel side, and you would just keep fighting until one side had everybody lose.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. I'll give them credit for that.
It's a cool idea, yeah.
They had a crossover mode where you'd pick a couple characters, and then you would always have mirror matches, and the system would randomly choose one of your characters to switch after the match, and you just keep doing mirror matches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
It was creative. I mean, it was a really good use, I think, of the tag team mechanism without necessarily having the tag team mechanism, you know. I never really played. I remember those versions, especially the hero battle. I don't remember crossover that much. I almost always just played the main arcade mode because I like the stories that you would earn after you, beat Apocalypse and Cyber Akuma. And I think there was a gallery too where you could like unlock really cool pictures and promotional artwork and stuff like that. But I don't know if that was a PlayStation exclusive or
it was.
It really?
Yeah. Why would you not put that in the Saturn one?
Why exactly? That just seems silly to not do that. They were really trying to make up for not having this tag team game actually be a tag team game.
The gallery is worth it. The hero battle is worth it. Training, I don't really care. I think the crossover is kind of stupid, actually.
Yeah. If there was no hero battle and just crossover, it definitely wouldn't make up for the fact that there's a much better Sega Saturn version out there. But those two things together, plus the gallery, which I loved, I thought that was just really cool. The artwork for this game was really was done well. I think the future games, I think Marvel 1 and Marvel 2, Marvel versus Capcom 1 and 2 both had more unique illustrations. And for someone who loves art, who does art, both graphic design and like visual art, and was an art major in school, like this is the kind of stuff that really inspired me, you know? So I would spend tons of time in the gallery mode just observing like the anime style versions of these American characters, and then going back to the old comics and seeing how they were done, and just kind of seeing the East versus West inspiration. I always thought it was really cool to see like these characters done in a very anime type way, especially Spider-Man and Blackheart, who already kind of looked like an anime character to begin with. But you know, and the Street Fighters, of course, they felt right at home because Street Fighter Alpha was very, very anime inspired. So yeah, the gallery was dope. Did not make up for a perfect arcade experience, but they tried. So at least Capcom was self-aware. They're like, oh, dude, this game's going to suck. We got to give these fans like something, anything.
You could get a couple extra playable characters, kind of cheating-ish.
Yeah.
You could have Blackheart come out as an alternate costume that was Mephisto. You could have Captain America come out as U.S. Agent. And you could have Spider-Man come out as Armored Spider-Man. That one's really creative.
It was. It was well done. Wasn't there like Mecha Zangief?
There was, but I didn't put those in the show notes because they're on the Capcom side.
Okay, cool. Yeah, not that great anyway. Armored Spider-Man was dope because like this game came out maybe around the same time. Well, a little after I was already really invested in like the Fox Kids shows, X-Men and the Spider-Man animated series during that time, where I think one of the seasons, if not the final season, like the final episode of the final season, I don't remember if it went over Secret Wars or like the Spider-Verse before what we know today as the Spider-Verse for comic fans, where Peter Parker meets alternate versions of himself. He meets, you know, the Scarlet Spider, Ben Reilly. He meets Armored Spider-Man. He meets, I think, Man-Spider. And so like when I discovered like this code or whatever to like play as Armored Spider-Man, I thought it was really neat because with the color swap, he actually really did look like Armored Spider-Man from the animated TV show. I was like, oh, this is super, super cool. And these hits aren't knocking him back. So during the gameplay, it really did feel like you were playing a totally different character with him. Even though it was the same exact fool with the same exact, you know, moves, you know. But, you know, other than that, I did kind of think that that was a really annoyingly cheap way to include quote unquote secret characters. It would be one thing. It's one thing to play Super Street Fighter II Turbo on your 3DO system that no one had at home or the arcade, have Ryu and Ken, who are slowly but surely being differentiated, but basically operate the same, right? And then you discover the secret character, Akuma, who looks like Ryu, looks like Ken, has their moveset, but is a completely different character all the same. That's one thing. But then you have like, oh, Zangief, he's gray now, you know, and Blackheart's red. At the end of the day, it doesn't work. Those aren't secret characters to me. It's not fun. Now, unlocking Mega Man's sister role in Marvel versus Capcom, that's cool. But if they gave me a red Mega Man and said, oh, it's Proto Man, no, that wouldn't work out for me. I'd be like, no, it's not. You're lying to me, Capcom, and I don't appreciate you. And I would chuck the CD out of the window. So what they did for Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter for their quote-unquote secret characters, meh, I don't buy it.
I'll give them a little bit of credit for doing something, but not very much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the things they were trying to do with this game, though, was tone down the insanity a little bit, especially from X-Men versus Street Fighter, because you had some people that were pretty much just broken characters. and could dominate the scene. So they try to tone that down a little bit. That didn't go over too well because people like insane fighting games.
And there was nothing on the market like this. And as far as 2D games go, I don't think there were any tag team fighting games on the market at all.
No, just the Saturn version of X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's it. So in of itself, this was already a extremely unique idea. Now, SNK had come out with a couple of like Kazuna battle tag, Kazuna encounters or something like that. That was like a 2D tag team fighter. I never saw that in the Neo Geos, like arcade games as a kid. And of course, I wasn't going to pay $600 to have a Neo Geo game at home. So, or Neo Geo home console at home. So I never played that. I didn't even know about its existence until I was like 18. So of course no one was like watching out for that, but then X-Men vs. Street Fighter comes out and it's like a 2D tag team fighter featuring the most popular characters Capcom's ever created and currently the most popular Marvel characters riding off the wave of the American TV show with the voice actors from the TV show and everything. It was perfect. Like, yeah, give me extreme, give me hyper combos that fill up the entire screen. Why would you tone that down? So I'm glad that they just kicked it up a notch. That's what you want to do with a sequel. You don't want to tone crap down. If I want to tone down, I'll go back and play Street Fighter Alpha. It's normal and shmormal, and I get nowhere by button mashing. But here, I'm a crazy kid, can have fun. They drew in the right crowd. You know, I feel like I was their target audience, and they freaking got me right through the heart, dude. Like, turn down for what? To quote the most lyrical artist of all time, Lil Jon. But yeah,
I'm all for fixing broken characters and fixing character balancing, but I love the insanity. Just get me a balanced insanity. That's all I'm asking for.
No, I want brokenness. You know why I want brokenness? Because not everyone knows how to tap into that brokenness. Not everyone knows infinite combos or who the most powerful characters in those games are. You know, so personally, I don't care. I enjoy balance, but also at the same time, nothing is more satisfying than beating those broken characters, than snapping out of those infinite combos where you're just getting pummeled and having an amazing comeback and killing your opponent with a hyper combo to boot. Like, there's nothing better than that. So I would rather experience that than have perfect balance.
Yeah, say I like balance and then I'm going to get pissed off later when my wife and I play Mario Kart and I get blue shelled. Because that's balance.
Yeah, see, screw balance. It does nothing for anyone. Ugh,
balance. Keep the insanity.
Keep the insanity. Should have been the tagline.
Spoiler alert, the insanity will come back.
Mm-hmm. It most certainly will.
But not in this game. As expected, the PlayStation version, meh reception.
Mm-hmm.
The Saturn version, oh yeah, that didn't come out over here, so we don't know. I'm still salty about that.
I'm trying to get over it. I'm too upset with Marvel versus Capcom Infinite to focus on not getting a Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter in the real version. Because honestly, even if I had known, I would have been like, oh crap, now I have to buy a Sega Saturn. You know? A Japanese Sega Saturn, no less. Where the balls am I going to find that? You know, the black market. I'm not going there. Place is scary.
I mean, so, you're like, what, a stone's throw from Russia? I'm sure you can find one.
Well, maybe. If I were an Olympic swimmer, I'd probably be over there right now. But alas, I'm not. And I'm here instead. This freaking game. Who do you think is the best character in this game? As far as, like, I guess Marvel characters.
See, that's where I think it really gets into play style. I've always been good with Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also usually been decent with Hulk.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly because I understand them more from the comic side of things, so I kind of know what they're supposed to be able to do.
Right.
Which, in theory, means I should be good with Spider-Man, too, but I don't like weaker, faster characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does have that level 3 hyper combo where... I forgot what I think it's just called like, not the web throw. That was a special move, but not a hyper combo. That hyper combo that used all of his meter where you have to execute it in the air and he grabs you on the ground and then he just throws you and it takes off like half your life. And you don't expect that because this is super skinny, super fast, kind of weak character where you get a whole lot of hits in, but he's not super powerful, like you said, but he has that level 3. So I think at the end of the day, it just really does come down to just like strategy. Cause I love playing as Spider-Man. I love it. He has those stupid quotes at the end, one for JJ, like he actually likes JJ. No one likes JJ except for JJ. But he's such an entertaining version of himself in that game, I think. He's a lot faster than he was in Marvel Super Heroes. And his hyper combos are awesome. But I see what you're saying about the Hulk. You look at him, you understand who he is, not just because you saw him on some cartoon, because you read and understand the comics, the dichotomy between Banner and the Hulk, and you understand what he's supposed to do. And in this game, he absolutely does it. His super moves are insane. He's slow, but if you know how to work with him, boom, Akuma's dead. Boom, Cyber Akuma's dead. Boom, Apocalypse is dead. Like, Hulk is probably the best character to beat the game with, honestly.
I mean, your health meter is a tool just like everything else. Sometimes you just got to take a hit to get in there and give somebody a big hit right back.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, without absorbing a character's attack and striking back, that's kind of exactly what he did. He was a big guy like Zangief, and so he could take multiple hits without actually getting knocked out of whatever action you were performing with the character. He was definitely a huge threat in that game, and I loved it. Because he wasn't completely broken, in my opinion, but he was just strong enough to work with. His hyper combos were amazing. That gamma wave where, like, if you have a character or if you're backed into a corner by a character and you execute gamma wave hyper combo, it'll bring him all the way across the screen and like just annihilate his health bar. And I just love the strategy in playing with the Hulk. He was a really fun character.
So what do you think this game really gets wrong, at least as far as the Marvel side of things is concerned?
Well, like we already discussed, there are no new characters on the Marvel side. Now, the Capcom side at least brought in two characters from Street Fighter Alpha and replaced two characters. They brought in Dan and Sakura to replace Cammy and Charlie. And it was fun because Dan and Sakura were two of the weakest characters in Street Fighter Alpha 2. And in Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, without a shadow of the doubt, they are both the two most powerful characters in that game. At least on the Capcom side, the Street Fighter side. What they really did wrong, though, especially on the Marvel side, no new characters at all. And yeah, I said I couldn't think of anyone to replace these characters with, but the fact of the matter is that it almost feels like they didn't even try. I love the music. I love the atmosphere of the game. Like you said, the insanity, you can feel it during the gameplay. It's highly exaggerated during hyper combos. You have these weird sparkly anime style like backgrounds when characters are executing these giant hyper combos and super moves and stuff like that, which is really dope. And it just and the user interface is really cool, but it all distracts from the fact that all the Marvel characters we've seen before, just like you said, we've seen all of them before. And it would have been a really cool time for Marvel to get with it. I'm glad that they did for Marvel versus Capcom, but for Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, this is the game that is practically the black sheep of the entire Versus series. And I think part of the reason is because there are next to no new characters, and there are no new characters for the Marvel side. Even the boss, Apocalypse, the sub-boss, was the boss of X-Men versus Street Fighter. So they didn't even get that right. It's frustrating. It feels like, at what point do you begin to care about the roster? It's very unlike Capcom to do that. They had two less characters on the overall roster in Marvel versus Capcom, and that roster was 300 times better. 300 is not a number. 30 million times better than Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter. With 15 characters, Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter had 17. And they did nothing with it on the Marvel side. They did nothing with it. So I think they got that wrong, definitely. What about you? What do you think they got wrong?
Putting the PlayStation version out, for one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not going to get the tag team battle part of it, why bother?
Right.
Right. I understand kind of maybe 3% why they didn't put it out for Saturn over here, because by the time that would have come out, the Saturn was really dead.
True.
I wish they would have done it, because how hard, I say this not knowing, but how hard is it really to take a game that already exists for your platform and make it for another region?
Right.
I mean, they could have released it with just English subtitles, and we would have been all over it.
Yeah, we would have been fine. Most of the game is in English anyway. It's not like the Japanese version had like a Japanese announcer. It didn't. The logo wasn't in Japanese. I mean, it was a very American game.
Have you played the Japanese one lately?
Nope.
Everything pretty much is in English with Japanese subtitles.
Yeah.
Some of the Street Fighter characters say things in Japanese,
but they do in the American version as well.
Yeah. So who cares?
Who cares? Exactly.
I don't care what they're saying anyway.
It's like, it almost feels like Capcom was distracted. This game doesn't, in many regards, it's not even a true sequel. I mean, it is because it is, but it doesn't feel like it. It feels like a remix of X-Men versus Street Fighter. Not a sequel. Yeah.
And what do you think this game really gets right?
What it gets right? Well, it definitely... before I do that, also another thing, I'm sorry that it gets wrong. The bosses, they suck.
Yeah.
Why bring back Apocalypse? That was just like lame. You know?
They could have used anybody.
Anybody. I mean, they could have brought back a super powered version of Magneto and I would have been happier than seeing Apocalypse again. And then Cyber Akuma is just a harder version of Shin Akuma, who's just a harder version of Akuma. So that was very uncreative. Unless Akuma is like your favorite video game character of all time, that's not super exciting. So that was super, super lame. But what they got right? I think the one thing they really got right was the variable assist. They took that out of Marvel versus Capcom, but they brought it back in Marvel versus Capcom 2. So just the ability to bring in to summon your character, your tag team partner, bring them out for a split second, and then have them go back into the background. That is just such a cool idea. You know, you don't have to tag out and use that character. You can just snap your fingers and summon them for a major attack. And it really adds to the strategy of the game. Are you going to have a character like Sakura in the background who has an airborne Hadouken, like a fireball? Or, you know, I don't know, a character like Wolverine in the background who has that Berserker Barrage attack? Those are just really neat ways to extend the insanity of the game, as crazy as it is already. And being able to link those chain those combos together, link those combos together, just made the gameplay so much more exciting in a way that we've just never seen before up until that point. The variable assist mechanic is as good as the active switch mechanic in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. I rag on that game a lot because its flaws are so disturbingly obnoxious, but the active switch mechanic in that game is absolutely beautiful. And the fact that Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter was able to exist without using the Infinity Gem mechanic of its progenitor, Marvel Super Heroes, which was a fun idea. It kind of recycled and reused in Marvel versus Capcom Infinite and more, you know, MCU styled. But the fact that Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter was able to use these Marvel superhero characters without spamming their abilities and without the use of the Infinity Gems, like in Marvel Super Heroes, prove that you don't need a whole lot of fanciness to make these characters work. And maybe that was one of the points that they meant to bring to the table by bringing back all these characters we've seen before, especially from Marvel Super Heroes or Street Fighter, the Hulk, or Marvel Super Heroes, Hulk, Captain America, Blackheart, Shuma Gorath, who literally no one cares about Shuma Gorath, right? Like, but I think in those aspects, they get it right. The game is extremely colorful. The music, I love the music of that game. I love, you know, I love everything about it. And I also love the user interface. The user interface and the illustrations are a lot more, I want to say happier than X-Men versus Street Fighter. X-Men versus Street Fighter feels like a serious game because the characters in their character illustrations and the versus screen are extremely angry and extremely dynamic and very serious looking in the character select screen. Little things like that. And the music is all in a minor key, so it sounds super serious. Whereas in Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, it just sounds like they're just trying to have fun. All the characters are happy and they're smiling and they're like, they're happy to go into battle for you, the player, you know? So the aesthetic overall is happier. It's more cheerful, almost as if it's aimed for a younger target audience than X-Men versus Street Fighter, which I don't necessarily think is true, but that's what it looks like. So I think they got those things right.
As much as I have given games crap for this before, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually appreciate that they didn't even try for one fraction of an ounce to give this game a story. There is no, like, this should be based on this comic arc. This should be, it's no giant cosmic tournament where that are bringing these things together. It's nothing. Right. It's just, we know what you want. They're going to fight. Have at it.
Yeah. I'll definitely give them that.
Because I know, like, I will forever say Justice League Task Force is going to be one of the top fighting games as far as lore goes, because there's an actual reason for heroes to be fighting heroes.
Loved it. Yeah.
But this one, who cares? They're going to fight. You want to see them fight? Go make them fight.
Right. And I think that's where Marvel Infinite, again, I keep going back to Marvel Infinite. Obviously, I have issues with this game, but that's where it went wrong. The entire game is based in story. And they force it. And it just... why would a game like this have a story? It doesn't make any sense. Now, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 has a story too, but not really. You know, there's not cutscenes and there's not... You know what I mean? And it just... It's stupid. Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter not having a story is probably the best thing about it.
I mean, even Smash Brothers Brawl has that story mode. It's like, okay, you know, that's fun.
Yeah.
But then you can go in and just, hey, they're fighting. Who cares?
Right. And they need that. Now, I'm glad you brought that up because the Subspace Emissary, genius storytelling, like on a deep level, I loved playing that. I thought it was lots of fun. It made sense in its own Nintendo way. But yeah, Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter absolutely did not. Now, Marvel Super Heroes was, you know, based off the, you know, Infinity War or Infinity Gauntlet, which I thought was neat. And I think Children of the Atom was based off a particular X-Men storyline. I don't quite remember.
That one was Fatal Attractions, but not really.
Yeah. Not really. It was a really loose adaptation.
There were some characters that were in both of them. That's about as far as it goes. And they went to the moon.
And they went to the moon. Yeah.
It wasn't fake.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, a story worked for those games. But when you don't need to explain why Dhalsim from Street Fighter is fighting with Omega Red from the X-Men. You know, they just don't need to do that. And I'm very glad that
there's only one reason why he's doing that.
Which is what?
Because we want to see him fight.
It's it. That's it. And that's all there needs to be. Like, you could be a kid like I was when it came out, or you'd be a grown man like us. We're practically dead because we're in our 30s. You don't need a story. It's fun. It's flashy. It's colorful. It works. And personally, I think as far as like games that adapt the look of being hand-drawn and stuff like that, Marvel versus Street Fighter is one of the best looking PlayStation games ever. In my personal opinion, I mean, obviously, well, what about Final Fantasy VII? Yeah, shut up. I don't care. But yeah, this game is absolutely amazing. So you have more than enough to distract from the fact that there is no story for people who love story that much. You really shouldn't care or expect a story with a game like this.
Or you can just make up your own story, because it's not like you can go against anything.
Right. Yeah, it's not like you're going to be stepping on a pre-existing story or clash with something that is canon. No, it's just use your imagination, like Barney said, and you'll be fine.
So if you have somebody who wanted to get into Marvel stuff, would you give them this game as any bit of a primer course?
Nope. Absolutely not.
I'm with you. It teaches you absolutely nothing. The only things it teaches you, you can get from Marvel Superheroes, which also kind of has a story.
Mm-hmm.
Or Children of the Atom, which also kind of has a story.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in this game that you can't get from something else, where the something else also teaches you more.
Yeah. Agreed. And it takes different versions of different characters. And at the time, you know, if you don't read the comics, honestly, you may not know who some of these lesser known characters are. I didn't know who Shuma Gorath was when I first played it. This game was my introduction to that character. I had no idea who he was until later on. This guy's an adversary of Doctor Strange. Had no idea. You know, Blackheart, adversary of Ghost Rider. Had no idea. Of course, I knew who the heroes were. You know, and that's another thing. Like, non-comic fans who want to get into it already have an idea of who the A-listers are. And of course, that list changes over time. I mean, during this period in time, Iron Man wasn't an A-lister. He was a B character at best. But, you know, up until the Robert Downey Jr. revival of the character in 2008, now he's the face of Marvel, period, which is really funny. But back then, it kind of went back and forth between, you know, I'd probably say Spider-Man and the X-Men. But this game is a horrible introduction. You know, people will be like, why is the Hulk talking? You know, why is he threatening people? Who's next? Like, why is he saying that? I thought he was like, Hulk smash. Then you'd have to, you know, explain all of this in a game that has no story or explanation. So I definitely wouldn't use this game as a starting point. I would say at the very minimum, I'd say start with the 90s comics or start with the 90s cartoons, because there were a lot of Marvel cartoons. And then once you get there, maybe go back to the comics and cross-reference and understand that the comics are actually better. The comics are what the cartoons are based off of. Have at it. Have fun. But I definitely wouldn't start them off with this game.
No, I wouldn't want to give anybody the PlayStation version for anything. I say that, and I own it. My wife and I take it outside and play it on Halloween. It's one of the games we do for that because it keeps people from having to ring the doorbell and we can pause it and who cares because the game's so slow anyway. I'm not bringing the Saturn outside because that means I have to bring a TV.
Oh, God. It's all that work.
I know, but TV. I've got the little screen for the PlayStation, so it works.
Yeah.
So, Justin.
Oh, like the PS1 screen?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a tiny, tiny screen.
Yeah, but it works for us.
Yeah.
It's really clear, the sound is really good, and it only takes the one power plug because it feeds from that right into the PlayStation.
Right.
Plus, I got it for like $10.
Really? Yeah. I always thought that was genius, dude. The way they reinvented the PlayStation and really re-released it. I mean, this is a topic for, you know, a whole nother show, but just how they have different versions of consoles and like re-release them. I didn't really start to notice this until the PlayStation started to do it, and then the PlayStation 2 did it, and the PS3, and now the PS4. It's absolutely genius. So I just love the idea of the PS1, you know, and it during its Sony's transition to the PlayStation 2, where we had even better 2D fighting games, you know, plus a re-release of Marvel versus Capcom 2, which was great. You know, we fans had a renewed interest in the older PS1 games because of the re-release of the PlayStation as the PS1, which I just thought was super, super cool. So that's fun. But I still wouldn't play Marvel Superheroes or Street Fighter on it. Not today.
No, I only do it because if I pause it and then lose when I come back because we pause it, I don't care. It's fun enough for a few minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, it's been great talking to you about this one. If people want to hear more from you, where can they find you around the internet?
The dark web. I sell human parts there, mostly thighs. It's most lucrative. It's more lucrative than Adam's apples and necks. Where else you can find me if you're not interested in creepy things? super-tangent.com. I am the host of Super Tangent podcast and blog, where I host a podcast and write blogs about nerd stuff. So that's fun. You can join my Facebook group called Super Tangent Nerds and Knowledge, where we don't really promote the show, but we talk about a lot of the topics from the show, ranging from cinema and movies to video games to comic books to books, tabletop games, whatever you're interested in. I am down to have a conversation with you on there. And I will really only promote the podcast in that Facebook group if someone in the group is guest starring with me on there, guest hosting on me. I don't promote the podcast there. If you want to check out the podcast and you're on social media, find me at twitter.com/superproclivity, PROCLIVITY. I'm never on Twitter, so don't go there. But I am on Facebook. There is a Super Tangent Podcast Facebook page, not a group, a page. But just go to super-tangent.com. That's where I'm at.
And we'll have links to things down in the show notes, because spelling things is hard enough when you only have letters, but once you throw symbols in with it, there's no hope.
Yeah, some idiot already took super-tangent.com. So my options were super-tangent.org, and I was just like, that does not roll off the tongue nicely. So I just threw a hyphen in there and I was like, hey, you can use this, do it. So I was like, okay.
Hey, but it works.
It works. So find me hiding there, pull me out of the shadows, and we'll talk nerd stuff.
And as always, if you want to hear more from me, I am on Twitter because I could sneak that in during work. You can find me at Play Comics Cast over there, or head on over to the Facebook group for my show, playcomics.com/Facebook group, because I'm redirecting you to the Facebook page from there.
That's right.
Also, if you want to help support the show, you can check out the merch store we have, or the Patreon, or if you just want to send me money because you love me, I don't know, maybe somebody will want to do it, you can head on over to playcomics.com just to check out the support page there. And don't forget, because apparently we have, that me and Kaylee technically kind of have a podcast about Scooby-Doo, where I am eventually going to try to convince her that Scrappy is not the worst idea to ever come out of Hanna-Barbera's brains. Over at Midland Kids Pod.
I have things to say about Scrappy. I will not.
We'll save that for another show.
Correctamundo, you may continue.
Don't forget that Play Comics is part of the Gunna Geek Network, home to such wonderful shows as All Things Good and Nerdy, where each week you can hear the crew there take a rundown of the latest in geeky and nerdy news, toss in the occasional game stuff, and you just end up with a giant wacky weekend morning show style thing with Chris, Naki, Anthony, and Willie. And if you like the music that we're rudely talking on top of right now, check out Best Day's music at soundcloud.com/best-day. But beyond that, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character. Crap, I had something in my brain. I'm going to make this sound like I'm not a complete dumbass later. What was the thing I was thinking of? It's like my water made me forget.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Don't drink water. It's horrible.
Noted.
No, it was something good. Oh, there we go.
Yes.